So I've had the privilege over the last couple of months of working with Chris on his book, Meet Me on Friday Morning. And today, we had some of our guys who couldn't come to the 40th for, you know, whatever reason. We had, scheduling conflicts. One guy was kind enough to say, hey, I got a wedding this weekend. I was like, go to the wedding. So anyway, we wanted to give everyone an opportunity to hear... We want to give everyone an opportunity to hear a little bit about the book and hear from Chris and just reminisce a little bit about 40 years of Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. So, Chris, I really enjoyed putting the book together with you. It was just a huge blessing. One of the things I wanted to ask you is, it's a thick book. It's got a lot of great stories in it, but what is something you really wanted to communicate through this book? You know, what's one thing you wanted to get across in the writing of this book?
One thing I wanted to get over. It's all God. Two materialists in our mid-30s, living in the hot suburbs of Philadelphia, the main line of Philadelphia. So if you want to know what the main line of Philadelphia is, you just go up you just take Buckhead and go 800 miles north. The only difference is the money on the main line is much older. So people are more sedate. But anyway, we're two materialists building the dream house. And we're running out of gas. We had never, Suzanne and I, had never opened the Bible in our lives. And things started to get difficult for me in career and at home. And one day, this is all in the book, of course, one day I just stood out in the front yard of my house, and I didn't know where I was going, but I literally reached up. I said, I need help somewhere. And people came into our lives and led us to Christ. It's all God. He did it all. He reached out to us through his people. He trained us. He sent people to train us. And he sent us to Atlanta 4 years later after we had some exposure to the right way to do things, the right way to approach the business and professional community. So that's the one thing I wanted to get over. It's all, God did it all. He's totally sovereign. But he gave us his grace.
Chris, you talk in the book, in fact, you start at the beginning. You talk about your childhood, upbringing in the Northeast. Talk about your family. But what's one sort of leadership facet you learned early on in life? What's something that stuck with you near the beginning?
Well, I thought about this. I learned the hard way that you got to be careful with people. And I learned it the hard way because I'm essentially an optimist. I'm essentially a salesman. I don't look at life cynically at all. I think of possibilities, and I think people should deal with each other with goodwill. But working for $1 an hour, probably 16, at the W.T. Grant Company. I think they're gone now, but they're long gone. But I'm working at W.T. Grant, you know, as a stock boy and whatever else needed to be done, and Mr. Latham, was the manager, and he was getting his money's worth out of me. I was doing a lot of little things for him. And I thought we were friends. I said, "Mr. Laffin, I've got a chance this summer to get a job for $2.50 an hour." And, you know, you'd think it was a wonderful job. And the job was to go up on these power company towers and paint them. And I thought that was like, wow. And I told him about it. "Would you give me a good recommendation?" That was like on Wednesday. Friday, I had a pink slip. So you have to be careful with people, but don't get jaundiced. Don't get cynical. Be optimistic. Look for the best in people, especially as a Christian. Look for their potential. That's always driven me, you know. People talk about vision. What's your vision? I'm sounding a little sarcastic there. But, I mean, some people are real visionaries. They see it, and they usually think organizationally. I don't think that way. I think, what is the potential of a Ken Thrasher or a Bob Voiles or an Alan Bullock or Jody Newman, guys that I've had a lot of interact with, Robert Thrasher. What is their potential for the kingdom? My son Colin and Christopher and Josh. Okay, so as Christians, we should be idealistic, but also very practical.
Great answer. Chris, you tell the story in this book of 40 years of Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. What do you hope you've gotten across to our men in 40 years of Friday mornings?
Well, try to model it, and I hope got across. It's all about the skill you need is the Bible. Jeremiah, I'll try to quote him, he said, "Your words I did find, and I did eat them, and they became the joy of my heart." The Word of God. I was introduced to the Word of God right away after when I met God's people. And I met God's people when God sent them to me. They were all men of the Word, and I write about them in the book. It's all about the Bible. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Paul writes to Timothy, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteous living." If you don't know the Bible, learn the Bible. Get on a program. See Bob Voiles. He's got the best program going. It's about studying the Bible, reading it, studying it, memorizing it, and then there's a theological concept, ruminating on it. You know, when I get in bed at night, I just think about a few verses that I know. I know a couple of Psalms. It's the best sleeping medicine in the world is to know the Word of God.
Chris, there's somebody you mentioned quite a bit in the book, and is a leader that unfortunately I only got to meet one time before she passed, and that's your wife, Suzanne. And so I'm sad that I joined the group too late to really get to know her. But you talk about her a lot in the book. What is something you wanted our men to know and remember about Suzanne?
Well, first of all, I cheated. You know, I used to talk to men about marriage, you know, you're supposed to do this and do that, but I cheated. The Lord set me up. He sent me a woman that it was like, you're going to be a good husband or else. And it really, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, there was an expectation that she conveyed, I am going to be the best wife, and I'm going to make you a success. And in return, you have got to include me in your life. Now, this is important. We went to counseling for a year because I had to learn. I never saw a good marriage. I never studied a good marriage. And our counselor was just exactly who I needed. And he taught me how to give of myself and to include her. And when you learn how to do that, when you bring her into your life, it's amazing what can happen, because God supernaturally has put these women in our lives. And if you're married, she's the right woman. He's supernaturally put these women in our lives to complete us. But she was rather extraordinary. She gave up her career in New York. She was a top buyer for Fifth Avenue, probably finest women's better sportswear store on Fifth Avenue, Baumwedt Teller. It's now Trump Tower. She gave that up when she was 8 months pregnant. There's a party for her, and those guys with Federated Department Stores, they all had tears in their eyes because she was so good. But she gave it up to become, she said, I'm a mother. Now, I'm a mother. It was very clear. And woman of prayer. She prayed about this ministry, every aspect of it. I've saved a lot of her diaries. And I start writing this book, frankly, when I stepped down from leading leadership companies, because I wanted to leave a record. This was before she got sick. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm writing a book. What are you doing that for? She's very practical. She had very little, if you will, ambition or vision for, you know, she would throw files away. And I'd say, Suzanne, you didn't throw that file away, did you? So we were a good match. She was quick-witted, very sharp, and I'm kind of a dull plotter, you know. And so we made a very good match. But our counselor showed us how to, you know, how to interact, how to give and take. And so I'm very indebted, and I talk about him a lot in the book.
Chris, in addition to talking about Suzanne, you know, one of the things that I love about your book is when you read a lot of leadership-type books, it's I did this, I made this decision. You mention almost 300 men in this book who were an influence in your life, and you mention a few a little more specifically that were really mentors to you, big influences on you. Talk a little bit about those guys and maybe one or two examples of people who really poured into your life as a leader.
Well, Dick was the first guy, Dick Woike. He's in his 70s, I'm in my 30s. He's the first man I ever saw with a Bible. we were invited on a Monday night to a home Bible study. And theirs is 70, he's in his 70s, I'm 80, I'll be 83. But here he is sitting in a soft chair in a living room in somebody's house with a big Bible on his lap, talking about the Word of God with ease, with a smile on his face, and just, he had read the Bible through cover to cover 50 times. And he taught me how to read and study the Bible. But it was the first, so we became friends. We became friends, and I was going through a lot of stuff. And we would meet. Never any judgment, just listen. It's like all of you that are professional planners or lawyers or whatever you do. Listening is probably your biggest skill. He would listen. I taught a course at IBM. It was on the way I sold systems back in the late 60s, early 70s, would do a lot of classes. This was called an executive modeling experience. I had the executives develop their own deterministic model. He came all the way down to downtown Philadelphia. He came to the class, you know. So he took a real interest in me, and I could talk to him about anything, and he would always answer the question by showing me in the Bible two or three answers that all pointed you back to trusting God. This is remarkable. I mean, that's Dick. His partner in business was Arthur DeMoss. Arthur DeMoss was an amazing man. He ran a billion-dollar corporation. And he would have, and what he did is he bought the biggest house on the highest hill in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Now, Bryn Mawr, if you're a materialist and you're striving to get ahead, you want to have a name brand, well, if that's what drives you, let me tell you, you've got a long way to go from the estate of Laurier in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. He only bought the house for one reason. He would have 200 to 300 people into his house three or four times a year to talk to them about the Lord. And he was kind of a character, you know. He's kind of a character, little short stature. He always wore a white dinner coat at these things. And he would introduce his friend, like Roy Rogers, or Roger Staubach, or Tom Landry. You've heard of these people, right? But they were just, he was a marketing guy. That got them in the room, and then told them about the Lord. Who does that? Who buys a house with the idea that this would be a place that I can invite people to hear about God? It was remarkable. He dropped dead at 53 years old, playing tennis. His son Mark is a public relations guy here in Atlanta. He and I are friends. Bill was the Bible teacher. Now, I talk about all these guys in the book. Bill was the Bible teacher. We would go to his services on Sunday morning, and you could hear all the pages rustling because he was so effective, you know. And lastly, just heard from his wife, all these men are gone now. Just heard from his wife last night. She got the book. The last guy was Dave, and his wife Diane, she wrote to me, and I just got it last night, a long letter thanking me for describing their role in our ministry here. But Dave was a lawyer, and like myself, in his 30s, he decided he was going to spend his prime time telling people about the Lord. And he took me under his wing and trained me, and I brought a lot of those skills from all four of those men. I brought them with me down to Atlanta. And then I got a real education. You know, on the job is the only way, right? Made a lot of mistakes, but they gave me a good start. They gave me a very good start. Had to adapt a model I had in Philadelphia to the Atlanta market.
Well, Chris, we are out of time.
Oh,
I wanted to thank you for giving us a few minutes this morning. Chris, let me pray for you real quick before we go to our table times. Father God, we just humbly thank you for Chris and his life and the life of Suzanne and all of the time and effort and energy and heart that they have poured into Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. We thank you for gifting him with the gift of leadership. And not only that, but the gift of mentorship, just the desire he's had over all of these years to pour into other men. And God, I just pray for the men who are here this morning and the lives that they lead, the positions that you have placed them in, for their marriages, their homes, their families, and their workplaces. God, I pray that they will be an influence for you in all of those places, and that as Chris did, that they will seek out men in their lives, as they're doing in their table time this morning, that will pour into them, that will give them wise counsel and scriptural counsel that will help them in every way, in every facet of life and leadership. God, thank you so much. And as we go into our table times now, be with us in those conversations. And I pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Everyone, have a great time at your table this morning.